All in the same time right here. The title of the sermon is, Who Are We? / Where Are We? Who are we? Where are we? You know, as we look all around God's creation, everything that God does is set in order. You know, it's really an amazing thing to look around and see everything. The seasons come, the seasons go, the sun comes up, the sun goes down, all at the right time, as God has planned everything. He has everything in order for us as well, too. Like the time that He calls us, we don't choose God. He chooses us when He calls each and every one of us. You know, if you ask somebody on the street, if you just walk up and ask somebody on the street, do you think God has already created everything that He will ever create? Well, first of all, most people will think you're crazy for even talking to them about God. And, you know, they will kind of look at you very, very strange. And when they give you an answer, they'll probably look around and they'll think pretty hard about it. And they'll probably say, well, you know, nothing has changed in thousands of years. So I guess that God has already created everything He has wanted to create. And then they'll walk off real fast. Well, I kind of got this idea when I saw a video of Steve Myers there in Cincinnati. I think he goes to the shopping malls or in front of the Kroger store or whatever. And he does the man on the street interviews for the Beyond Today program. And I listened to some of those, and the answers that he was getting really sound funny. You know, you can imagine all the different answers that you would get. It's kind of like Jay Leno, you know, doing his little street on the street questionnaire things. Some of the funniest answers that you will get. I know Steve, probably knowing Steve, probably has a hard time not just, you know, breaking up laughing right there on the spot. In fact, he probably does a few times on that. But the real answer is about God's creation is that, you know, only those that God has called really knows that the Heavenly Father is not finished with His creation. He is creating all the time with me and you, with each and every one that He is calling. God created us humans in His image. We are the top of the line when it comes to the physical beings. You know, and he has done this for the purpose of expanding His family. We have read about this many times and have heard about it many times. And He has given each of us choices in this physical life. Choices of life for us to choose from. And if we want to have the gift of His eternal life, we can choose to. Or we can even choose to say, well, God, I just really don't need You, really don't want You. And eventually we will be put out of existence. It's our choice. We all get our one chance for all this choosing that we have to do. We get our only one chance, you know, and we don't get to choose when we get our chance. You know, a lot of people, I've heard them say, well, you know, I wish God hadn't called me so soon. I had many, many things to do in the world that I wanted to do that actually was against God's law. You know, but they said, well, you know, God called me sooner than I thought He would. You know, I've heard this from people in the church. As a matter of fact, out at Ambassador College, I've heard some say that. But, you know, God has His timeline for everything. He has order in everything that He does. And we are part of the timeline that He works with. We would all like for our kids or our mates to be called and converted and for God to, you know, speed things up for them. But we have to realize that God does the calling. It's not us. You know, we love our kids and our mates, and we want things to happen quicker than what God has planned for. But God knows best. He knows best at the right time to do the calling for each of us. So, you know, as in the title of the sermon, for those of us who are called, you know, and this is the first part of the sermon here, you know, who are we? God has many labels that he places on his people. And I'm not going to give a list of all of the names and labels that God places on us. I will go through just a few of them. But God has different labels that he distinguishes us with, and so that we will know who we are. Number one, we keep the Sabbath. And that is a sign that we belong to God. But let's turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, and let's read verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. He lets us know that he calls us and we belong to him. We belong to our Creator, our Father, our God in heaven. Let's drop down to verse 7. Verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. We might think sometimes that we're in charge of ourselves, that we can do whatever we want to do. But we are seeing here much, much different. God has planned us, called us, formed us, created us. Let's drop on down to verse 10 through 13. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. He is God, our Creator, who made us, that we belong to. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign little g God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, before he even created light, the sun, or whatever it was, I am he, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Nobody can change anything that God does. Nobody can reverse the work that he does in each and every one of us. So is God's creation over with? No, he's constantly creating daily with you and I and anything else that he desires. He is all powerful. He is doing a work in me and you. We were called out. He knew us before we were born, of course. As we well know, you know, from the people that we anoint and from each and every one of us that goes through sicknesses or different ailments, whatever, we are locked inside our physical bodies. And our Father God and His Son, our Savior, are in spirit bodies. And we have the opportunity to be like them in a spirit body. How wonderful that would be, to not hurt, to not get sick, not get diseases, not have things that go wrong with us. Our body parts wear out. But to be a spirit being, we wouldn't have to worry about any of that. We know that the Father had to send His Son, Jesus, to die in this physical body. He came to be our Passover, the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb, to pay the price, to buy all humans with a price, with his physical body. And also to bring the good news of his coming kingdom. And again, to be our Passover. He died and paid the price for each and every one of us. And as I said in verse 1 there, what God said, what I didn't say, I just read what he said. God said, you are mine. So let's keep in mind that we don't have the choice over our lives. We make the choices that God gives us, but He is in charge of each and every one of us. And there are no coincidences, as you have heard me say many, many times. Nothing happens unless God allows it. He is working with me and you daily. And we need to keep that in mind, that we don't belong to ourselves. Well, one of the wonderful blessings in God's plan is He sends His Holy Spirit to help us to overcome our sins. And we can't do that ourselves. That's one of the big hurdles that comes from the vanity of each human, is to think, well, I can do things myself. I can take care of things myself. I can think on my own. No, we can't. That's one of the very first lessons that we all need to learn, is that we need God's Holy Spirit working in and through us to overcome any sins that we have. And that's something that we need to pray about and get over the vanity part of thinking that I can take care of things myself. Let's turn to Romans, into the New Testament there. Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, and let's read verses 26 through 28. Romans 8, 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. And oh, do we have weaknesses, more than what we even allow ourselves to even think about. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession. It's Jesus Christ at the right hand of God that is making intercessions for us. He is our high priest, making intercessions for us with groanings which we cannot utter. Verse 27. Now He who searches the hearts, who searches our hearts? God the Father does. God the Father searches our hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession, Jesus makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What is God's will? God wants us to make it into His coming kingdom and to be part of His family. We were created at the top of the physical line, because He is expanding His family. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. How do we show we love God? By keeping His commandments, doing His will, doing what's pleasing to Him, and to run from sin every time that it pops into our head. Repent of it. We are doing God's will by choosing to be obedient to God and not thinking on our own. To those who are called according to His purpose. We are called according to His purpose. Not nothing that we are doing on our own at all. And then in verse 29, to be conformed in the image of the Son, of His Son. We are to be following the example of Jesus Christ. He set the example to be conformed in the image of His Son. Now, that's not just a physical image. That is in a spiritual image. To be wanting to please the Father, the one who created us from nothing, from the ground of the earth here. God's creation has not stopped. He is still forming and molding and working with each and every one of us that He has called. And He is wanting us to conform and to make the right choices and to eventually be made into a spirit being and be living in His family with Him forever and ever. We are being transformed to reflect our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We are to be growing and changing to live our lives with the character of our elder brother. We have to be thinking about this daily, constantly, every waking minute. We need to be thinking, am I making the right choices that Jesus would make? He set the example. And the bar is pretty high if you think about it. When you start, getting bombarded with everyday's chores and questions and choices that we have to make. But they are the right bar. They are the right things. They are doing God's will. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. That's another label that God puts on us. We are a chosen generation. Another label, a royal priesthood. And another one, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. Out of darkness? Out of ignorance. Out of ignorance of not knowing how to obey God or what to obey. From the darkness of not knowing. We're just living a physical life, doing whatever comes naturally. But He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, into His marvelous understanding, to know God's plan, His will, and how we should be obeying Him. Verse 10, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Yes, you know, before, we did not have all that mercy going on with us. God is working with us. He is being merciful to each and every one of us. We have to make the right choices. And as we make right choices, He provides us more help as we go along. We have to show God that we want to obey Him and do His will. We are a holy nation, a select group that's called out by God. We are a unified group, or we're supposed to be. We need to be checking ourselves constantly and make sure that we are unified in obedience to God. That unified group who are set apart for God's use as He sees fit. Christ is the head of the church, and He is the only one that has the authority to divide the church. The only one. And He will divide. He will be putting the goats on one side and the sheep on the other. But what audacity that some people think, well, you know, I'll just pick up my marbles and I'll go over here and divide the church and take the sheep out with me as I go. Only Jesus Christ has the authority to make divisions in the church. He is the head of the church. We have obtained mercy. We are God's only special people. And He protects those whom He has adopted into His family. God gives us the protection and the help that we need through the power of His Holy Spirit, as we will hear a lot more about on the day of Pentecost, about God's Holy Spirit and the power of it that we all need to help us to go through this life, this treacherous life, because we are being bombarded constantly by Satan and his demons and by ourselves. We have to really take a look at ourselves and not let ourselves run us into the ditch, so to speak. We are called and we are set apart for God's use for His glory. We are also known as the children of God. Let's turn to 1 John 3, just a few pages over. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. No, they weren't called to know. They weren't called to know. And we weren't called to know until God called us. Verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. No, God has wonderful plans for use today in this physical life and also in the world tomorrow that is just going to be mind-boggling. Our minds are too little to even think about of what He has planned for us. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. We will be in that spirit form. We will have the spirit body that doesn't hurt, doesn't ache, doesn't wear out, doesn't need to sleep. For we shall see Him as He is. We know that God is spirit, and we are made in His image. Verse 3, And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. You know, we are called sons of God, and we need to be working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and following the character of Christ. He is our example. We need to be pure like Christ is. We are also called sons of God. Let's turn to the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, this is Andy Luck's favorite area. He told me so just a while ago. Matthew 5, and we will stop at verse 9. I won't go through all the Beatitudes. But I will read verse 9 because it's a label that God also puts on us as well, too. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers. Well, you know, like I was talking earlier about our vanity that we have, and we think that we're the rough and tough people, that we can, do things ourselves or whatever, but we have to learn to be peacemakers. And that's a little bit hard for some people to swallow, a little bit hard to do. But the Beatitudes describe, as in the title of the sermon, who we are. And then, of course, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit is what we should be reflecting, because that reflects Christ. If we truly reflect Christ, if we truly do, which means we have to examine ourselves and find out if we are truly reflecting Christ or are we just going through the motions, we will be sons of God. Also, let's turn to Luke to expand a little bit further on this. Let's go to Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. And let's read verses 35 through 38. Jesus speaking here. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Now, that's a whole bunch right there. To love your enemies, and then for some, to lend, and hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Highest. That's another label. Your reward will be great. It will come back to you, even larger than what you have lent to somebody, knowing that you were getting nothing back in return. God has blessings for obedience to Him and for doing His will, even when it goes against our human nature of take care of self. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil, even those that you know, you do something for them and they don't even say thanks. And to those that are evil and plot and do things against you. But, you know, we need to be thinking like Christ does. He is kind to those who are unthankful and are even evil people. Verse 36, therefore be merciful. That's another hard one to think about. A lot of us jump to conclusions real fast. Our mind is racing. And when we should be showing mercy, we are jumping on someone. There are different things in our feelings that we have to correct. And this is one of the big ones right here. Just as your Father also is merciful. And then here is another really big one coming up here in verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. How many times has each one of us just go ahead and let our mouth flap open and start judging somebody else when we don't even know the circumstances, the facts, or anything about them? Even if we knew those, we shouldn't be judging anybody. We are all human. We are all fallible. We all sin. And we need to have mercy on each other. And starting with not judging each other. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Got to think about that. If we are judging someone else, the same measure that we judge somebody else with will be measured right back at us. It pays for us to be merciful and show love to everyone else. And we can't have this almighty feeling in ourselves that, hey, you know, God has chosen me and, you know, I might sin a little bit, but I'm better than that one over there. Need to be thinking about that. All of us do. Jesus is the light. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Let's turn to John 12. Since we're in the Gospels here. John 12, and let's read verses 35 and 36. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness will overtake you. And he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Another label, sons of light. And what is he saying here? We need to be walking, which is part of that is believing, that's living your life, believing in the light. Who is the light? Jesus Christ is the light. He is the example. He shows the way for us to have eternal life, to believe in him. Lest darkness, what is darkness? Darkness is sin, will overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Completely blind, but we know how it ends up. It ends up in death. We don't want to do that. So we need to be following the light. Jesus Christ is the light. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. At 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, and let's read verses 17 and 18. "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." Come out from, you know, being a person that is living their lives in sin. Come out from among them, like the everyday person that's on the street that is not called, does not know God's truth. We are to be separate. We are set apart, and let's live that way. "Do not touch what is unclean." We're talking about sin here. Keep away from anything that is in your mind that develops sin. Do not touch any of it. "And I will receive you." Verse 18, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Sons and daughters, another label that God has put on us. Let's turn to Galatians 3. We're almost done with the first part of the sermon here. But Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29, we're going to find that we are also heirs along with Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." We grow in faith, which is a gift from God, from the lessons that we are learning, and we are going forward in our obedience. We gain the faith in Jesus Christ. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." Verse 29, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We are heirs according to the promise. How wonderful that is to know that we can be heirs in the family of God along with Jesus Christ. Well, that was the first part of who are we? Many labels that God puts on us, those of us that are working hard at being obedient to God and making the right choices in our lives, trying our best to do the will of God, and when we're not, let God correct each and every one of us and bring us back in line, put our minds straight, and to be pure like Jesus Christ, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That is the first part. We know who we are. God puts labels on us. Now for the second part of the title of the sermon, where are we? Well, as in part one, we know who we are, but we have to ask ourselves constantly, where are we? Where are we in our obedience to God's never-changing laws and character? We look around us. God has laws in place that will never change. All the planets and the sun in the morning we see, and the sun go down in the afternoon we see that. It's all right on time. God's never-changing laws, nor His character. His character doesn't change. It is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where are we in our conversion? Are we growing? Are we standing still? Are we falling backwards? We are to examine ourselves constantly about this. Where are we in this process that God is allowing us to go through, that we were called to go through? You don't have to turn there, but in Genesis 3, verse 9, God asked Adam and his wife Eve. He asked both of them there in the garden. He says, "Where are you?" Of course, God knew where they were. They were hiding in the Garden of Eden. He knew where they were, but he was asking them, "Where are you?" Because they had disobeyed what God had taught them. They had committed sin and displeased their father God. That they had a very, very close relationship. God taught them all of His laws and everything that He expected out of them. He was the father to them that they should have been obeying and looking to for everything, just as me and you are. There's no difference there. God is teaching us, those that He has called, how we should be obeying Him, how we should be pleasing Him. And when we step out of line, God is asking us, where are you? Where are you spiritually? We have to ask ourselves constantly. God wants to know where we are in our conversion. Are we making the progress that we need to be making? Are we working out our salvation with fear and trembling? And God was saying to them, the question of where are you, as He was asking Adam and Eve, it was a metaphor question. God was asking, where are you spiritually, is what He was really asking them. He was also asking them, are you not being true to me? I am your father. I give the best advice. I tell you how you should be living. Or are you following and obeying someone else? Adam and Eve both confessed to the sins that they had committed, but it was really not a real repentance. They knew what kind of life that they had there in the garden. I mean, how wonderful that was. Everything provided for them. Just everything was just perfect for them. And they knew that there was going to be some punishment that was going to be coming along with this. So they cried the crocodile tears. And at the very same time that they were crying the crocodile tears, they were blaming someone else for their sin. Eve blamed the serpent. Well, you know, she should not have even been talking to him in the first place. But should we cut her a little slack? Should we? This is a question. Should we cut her a little slack? This was the first time she had seen a snake that could talk. I mean, that'd be kind of shocking right there. And, and the snake, of course, was lying to her, told lies about God, she was listening. She was listening. And we have to kind of think of ourselves in the heat of the moment. As we go through different things in our lives that we have to make choices with, in the heat of the moment, we have to be judging righteous judgment every second. Things were happening so fast there with the shock of a snake talking to her and was telling lies to her about God. We have to think of ourselves in the very same situation. In the heat of the moment, each day, we have to consider what choices that we are making. We just can't be just off the top of our head saying, oh yeah, this, whatever, and making a choice. We need to think long and hard. Eve should have thought long and hard from the things that Satan was telling her through this serpent. This brings us back down to ground zero for me and you. We need to be choosing carefully every day. We have to be on guard to make sure that we are choosing rightly and being obedient to God. And then Adam, of course, he blamed Eve, and he also blamed God. You know, he says, it was that woman you gave me. She made me sin. You know, so there was sin all around there, and they were on the spot. You and I are on the spot, too. We have to be careful how we make choices in the heat of the moment. Constantly. All of us humans sin every day, and it is our job to be on guard, to be checking ourselves. Where are we spiritually? Just as God the Father was asking Adam and Eve there in the garden, where are you? And again, we need to be working out our salvation with much fear and trembling. There's a lot on the line. Our eternal life is on the line. Our Heavenly Father is merciful, and He wants us to repent of our sins and to turn from sin as soon as it happens, as soon as it pops in our mind. Don't make a decision off the top of your head. Think long and hard before you open your mouth, before you open your mind to an answer. Because the only thing that can separate us from God is our unrepented sins. He won't even hear our prayers if we have sins that we haven't unrepented, that we haven't confessed to Him. Need to be in constant prayer, that constant relationship all during the day with our Father, our God in heaven. And we know we can go to Him at the very second that Christ died there on the tree. The veil was rent in the temple from top to bottom. And why was it from the top to the bottom? Because God the Father is the one that ripped it from the top to the bottom. That we can now have access to the Holy of Holies, to where He is. We can plead with God and explain why we are the way we are and to ask forgiveness of our sins. And we know that Jesus Christ is at His right hand, who is our advocate, that is helping us and giving us the understanding and the help through the power of His Holy Spirit. But don't have any unrepented sins in your heart and in your mind. We have a great opportunity, the gift of eternal life. The Bible speaks of three worlds. Three different worlds that the Bible speaks about. First one is the one that Adam and Eve, our first parents, lived in. You know, they lived in a different age before Noah's flood. You don't have to turn, we'll just jot this down. 2 Peter 3:6. And then for the second world, the one that we live in right now in this present evil world, it is ruled by Satan. He is the present little g god of this world. And we know all the complications and everything that he is throwing at each and every one of us because he hates us. He wants us to fail. He doesn't want us to be in God's coming kingdom. He knows what's going to happen to him. He is jealous. And he can't change a thing because he has already been judged. Our Heavenly Father is allowing Satan to do this in this world right now, in our physical lives. And why is he allowing Satan to do all these horrible things? You know, you hear things on the news about people being beheaded or drugged through a city till they're dead, or all kinds of hideous things. Why is God allowing this? He is allowing this to show us how painful and horrible Satan's way of life is. Showing us that Satan's way is the only thing that leads us to eternal death. And that we need to change. We need to cry out to God. We need to depend on God. Just as God was there in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, He taught them the way to continue their life and how they should be obeying their Father. We're getting the same lessons. We're being taught the very same thing, that we need to love and honor and obey and depend on the one who created us, our Father, our God in heaven, which leads to life. And the third world that is talked about, we are also living on the threshold of God's world to come. You can jot down Mark 10:30 on that one. The wonderful world tomorrow, the world to come, when God will do away with Satan and his demons. And God's kingdom will be set up. We talk about the kingdom of God and what it will be like and how wonderful that will be. God has created us and has called us as candidates to be in His ruling family for eternity, to live in His family. How wonderful that is. What a great opportunity we have. And you're going to hear more about this, of course, on Pentecost, about we are being called to be the first fruits. The first fruits that God is going to have jobs for us. We will be the first ones that will be in the thousand-year period, the millennium, after Christ returns, setting up God's government as the way things should be. But Christ is allowing Satan to do whatever he wants to do. He and God the Father are allowing Satan and his demons to go ahead and show us how horrible life that their way of life produces, which goes to death. As a result, Christ died, paid the penalty for our sins, we are bought with a price, and those of us that have been baptized with hands laid on us, we received God's Holy Spirit, and it's available to us constantly. We are now the temple of God. We have the power of God's Holy Spirit to help us repent daily. Again, we can't do it on our own. We don't have the power. It's only vanity to think that we can. I knew a man for many, many, many years from the days of Worldwide that thought, well, I'm not going to get baptized until I'm perfect enough. Little does he know that he will never be perfect enough on his own. We have to depend on the Spirit of God working in and through us, helping us to repent daily, choosing to have God's Holy Spirit to work with us. And we do that by building that constant relationship with our Father that created us. Without God's Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And without God's Holy Spirit, we are not His. Somebody asked me, well, you know, why should I just go ahead and be baptized? Well, went through why this person should be baptized. Number one reason, we are not God's if we aren't. If we don't allow God's Holy Spirit to live in us, it's our choice. God's not just going to say, hey, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you and that's it. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way at all. We have choices in life. Very, very important choices. Very, very drastic choices. We can either be in God's kingdom or we can choose not to exist forever and ever. For the last scripture, let's turn to Psalms 32. Go back to Psalms 32, if you will. Psalms 32, and let's read verses 1 through 7. Blessed is he. Now, it's what we're talking about here is that David enjoyed the forgiveness of his sins. He was humbled. He was grateful. He was thankful to God, knowing that his sins were forgiven. And he expresses it here. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute or charge with iniquity, and in whose spirit There is no guile, no deceit. And he says here, he says, when I kept silent, you know, and did not repent to God, did not talk to God about his sins, when I kept silent, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all the day long, it was on his mind, it was in his bones, it was in his body. When he was not repenting to God and asking God to forgive him of his sins. And then verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. It was on his mind. He was thinking about his unrepented sins that he should have went to his father with and said, please help me to overcome these through the power of your Holy Spirit. Please forgive me of these sins and have the attitude of being little as we are. We are children of God, but we need to have it in our minds that we can't do anything on our own. Jesus Christ said that we can do nothing without him, nothing at all. And he says, for my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Did not have the energy, did not have the strength, did not have, you know, what he needed to live as a human before he repented of his sins. He was thankful. He was pleased that God was having mercy on him and that he could depend on God and the price that Christ paid. Well, Christ was much later, of course, in the picture here, but he knew that he had to obey God the Father's laws that he knew. In verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you, speaking of God the Father, forgave the iniquity in my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. Have that relationship to God. Ask God to forgive you of your sins, to repent of your sins, so that God will hear your prayers when you pray to him. In a time when you may be found, you know, unrepented sins will separate each and every one of us from God. And for we need to be praying constantly to God while we are in contact. Surely in a flood of great waters, yes, this world is a flood of great waters. We have all the distractions that Satan can throw at us. They shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. David was thankful. He was grateful. He was humbled. He was pleased to know that God forgave him of his sins. We need to have the same attitude constantly. In closing, what about me and you? What should we be doing? Well, we should always say to ourselves, I know who I am. God has many labels that I can claim, that I can choose, that I can have this relationship with the one who created me, and I can eventually be changed into a spirit being like he and his son are, and to live with them forever and ever. So constantly we need to ask ourselves the second part of the title of this sermon. Where am I spiritually? Good to see y'all.